Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whether your business needs cars, vans, or larger commercial vehicles, you can rent from the best lineup in the UK with Enterprise. And with flexible long-term rental, you can get vehicles for as long as you need them, from minutes to months. Whatever the mission, Enterprise's mobility experts can build a bespoke solution to suit your business needs. Visit enterprise.co.uk/business to find out more.
This is TalkSport Daily.
Hello, happy Monday, and welcome to another Andy Goldstein's TalkSport Daily Podcast. With me, your host, Andy Goldstein. I hope you all had a good weekend doing what you can, of course, in a scenario that faces us. But listen, upwards and onwards, gang. Upwards and onwards. Now, we begin today's podcast with Mark Shouty-Saggers, Danny Mills and Ray Houghton on the Sunday exclusive. They were talking about the potential return of football. Were they? That's a surprise. That's not being covered. Well, there's nothing else to talk about, is there?
We're always looking at the immediacy with football, the hand-to-mouth with this. Again, you'll tell me that a lot of this is to do with finance, and a lot of the finance is because football clubs have spent the money before they even get it, and that's not a problem with the fans who have to dip into their pocket before they're even allowed to watch it on their television set if they want to go that way with it. You can't do it the way that this lot have done it. And is there no way that we can think, yes, everybody does agree that this season needs to be finished? And I'll go back to something I said a couple of weeks ago. Why is not FIFA, UEFA, individual leagues, our leagues as well, discussing, saying, you know what, rather than think that this is the season that's not going to finish, why don't we make sure that this season is finished? And if that then means that we go past December into January, into February, then next season might not take place. And then we can start again after what will be various, you could have the cup tournaments then, and then of course you've got the internationals next year if things are getting better. And then you start again, that we nearly miss 9 months just so that we can finish this season. Is that not a more practical way of looking at this?
Definitely. I think, you know, and we've always said that, Saggers. What is the point of ending this season prematurely and starting next? You might as well just wait and finish this season.
Now we can hear from big Tony Cascarino on the weekend breakfast show with Georgie Bingham, talking about football being played behind closed doors.
Really? That was done ages ago.
Yeah, but there's nothing else to talk about, is there?
Well, I can't imagine concerts, just big venues, large audiences, stadiums in football included, that are going to be able to go until there's a vaccine. Mm. I just don't see it. I think that is one of the biggest risks. If you just choose to do it because the numbers go lower and lower and lower, well, COVID-19 might return in the winter months. So,
yeah, you know, yeah, second coming.
Exactly. So you have to be prepared to say, this is how it's going to be.
Over now to the final word with Simon Jordan, Kate Blanchett's husband, and Danny Kelly. I'm guessing they were talking about something along the lines of football returning behind closed doors, games in Australia, players wearing masks, that sort of thing, I imagine.
I want football to return. Clearly I do. And I think most of us want football to return because, yep, if nothing else, we're sat here talking about money and football. All it reverberates around is money at this moment in time, rather than the protagonists and the beauty of the sport. But not, and also, of course, having more content than just perhaps going around in circles at times. But I'm in a position in my own mind where I think that this season, the 1920 season, first of all, football is going to come back. It's just a matter of when, right? And what it looks like and in what form. And the agenda is being pushed very, very aggressively now by the Premier League because for a number of reasons. One, they're obviously trying to protect the broadcast deal. And two, there's an element of emphasis being put on it by the government and certain departments of the government, naively, I think, because I don't think they really understand the foibles and peculiarities specifically of the football
industry.
That's
the culture, media and sport department.
That's the DCMS, yeah. And, you know, given the fact that the sports minister is mute, we don't understand what he does or doesn't think about the industry because we don't hear from him. But insofar as it coming back, I'm against it coming back in June. I believe it's too early in the game. I don't believe that sport should be ahead of the curve. I know people believe that sport has a responsibility to lead. It also has, by the very nature of a default setting that it doesn't want, it's held to a higher set of standards than everybody else's, which is slightly ridiculous, but it is. Which means that anything that goes wrong within the confines of sport will be amplified beyond the ramifications of anything else.
Time now to head over to Hawksby and Jacobs and the brilliant clips of the week. This is where people send in clips of a certain week and they put it together for their... Yeah, well, you guessed it. It's available in full as a podcast, so we're only playing a bit of it, I imagine. But they do it every Friday, I think at 3:30. I'm pretty sure it's 3:30 because back in the day when you're allowed to go out and I used to pick my kids up from school, I would always get out the car about 3:25 because I had to go and get them. And I'd go, why can't they move it earlier just for me? But they never did.
This is Goffey chatting to Sir Steve Redgrave about his career.
When you look back at it and you think you wanted to be a single sculler, didn't quite work out. You ended up in the Cox Fours to start with. Then you went into the Pairs, finished on the Cockless Four.
Remember them? Oh, they were a great band, actually. They were the Castrati Quartet, they were known as. I think I've got their first album. It was mainly Jimmy Somerville covers, if I remember
of course
right.
It was, yeah.
It's quite the range, obviously, for obvious reasons.
Tremendous.
What's next? Yes.
It's Sam Matterface and Perry Groves discussing Kevin Keegan.
Kevin Keegan apparently appeared with the Honey Monster when he signed for Newcastle United. I remember that as well.
Remember that one.
I think he did a... have you done the Shredded Wheat as well? Cluffy and Shilts were in the Shredded Wheat advert.
Well, Glenn Hoddle did a Shredded Wheat.
Good recovery. I'm sure he did, though. But we didn't necessarily need
who
to
doesn't?
But good recovery. Anyway, this is Jim White. This is Jim White with a time check.
It is 11 noon. Jim White with you live in the studios of TalkSport.
I suppose at the moment, if you're not looking to catch a train at 11 noon, you've probably got an hour. It doesn't really matter what time it is. Anything between 11 and 11:59.
Now, back to Big Alan. Here chatting to one of the stars of his favourite show, Peaky Blinders, actor Joe Cole, about his new show, Gangs of London.
I'm loving it. I've got to be careful. I don't want to give too much away. But when your dad in the show, Finn, dies, Colin Meaney, isn't it? Colin Meaney? Yeah. I remember him in Layer Cake. I'm like, oh, no, he can't die so early. But without giving that away, you see a bit more of him.
You have kind of given it away. And to be fair, I've watched it, and that happens in the first 5 minutes. It's not going to ruin it for you, and it's fairly key.
I wasn't going to watch it now.
And you could have told it from the trailers, but I don't want to spoil it. But when he dies, when you, oh, no. No, he was all right. He wasn't too bad there.
Right, we can hear from the former light welterweight champion of the world, Wiki Hatton, who's a guest on Fight Night on Saturday evening. He's been telling Adam Catchell and Gareth A. Davis that Joshua versus Fury just has to happen.
I've always been a boxer and a boxing trainer and a boxing promoter. But, you know, even before them days, I've always been a student of the game. I've always been a fan of the game and a fan of our British fighters, past and present. And, you know, I remember years ago, you'd have two British lads fighting for the British title, and not being disrespectful to anyone, you never heard of them.
No.
Now we've got the number one and two in the world. Mm-hmm. And both, you know, different styles, different personalities, it can't not happen. But the only reason why sometimes these fights don't happen, because, you know, you have rival promoters and rival TV companies, and, you know, and then you have two fighters that AJ will say, I've got all the belts, and rightly so. And Tyson will say, I'm unbeaten, though, and I'm the lineal champion. And it's because of that is why sometimes big fights don't happen. But I just think there's that more in the pot for everyone, for AJ, for Tyson, you know, for AJ's promoter, for Tyson's promoter, for the TVs. There's that much in the pot that I think that, and because of public demand, how can it not happen?
Now the most successful British track athlete in modern Olympic Games history. Who's that, Dave Thompson? Yeah, of course it is. Ah, Mo Farah. He joined the boys on Jive. He looked back at the London Games in 2012 and what was going through his mind during that famous Super Saturday. I'm guessing what was going through his mind was something along the lines of, oh my goodness, I think I'm going to get a gold.
I was in a training camp and leading up to it, I was kept away from everything. So I came in 2 days before the race. So I came in, went to Athletes Village, did the whole thing, got accreditation, gone through, and then went down the stadium, the warm-up track, and did a couple of strides a night before. And then, you know, in that evening, turned up at the track. And I remember walking in at the track and just thinking, wow, at the warm-up track this is, and they're still showing bits of it. So from that point, I was like, oh, man, this is amazing. It's incredible. And then walking in the actual stadium was nerve-wracking. But at the same time, it was just amazing to see so many Union Jack everywhere, people shouting out your name, Mo, Mo, Mo. And that really, you know, spurred me on and gave me a massive, you know, boost, as you say. It's like I was telling myself, these people are just here for me. Can you believe this whole nation? And obviously, leading up to it, I was watching from the camera side where, you know, Jess has just won. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. You know, obviously, we're in the training camp together and, you know, in competitions. And you know each athlete well. And Jess is a lovely girl and got on well with her. So I was so happy for her. And then on the other hand, I see Greg jumping as well on one side of it. And then he comes off the pit. He's cheering me on, like, I think five laps to go or something. I'm like, in my mind, I was thinking, how did you get on? And I didn't see it much. And for me, it was just, oh, mate, there's no really word to describe that Saturday. It was just, you know, as a nation, we came as one. And to have so many people cheering for you in that stadium for me was incredible. And I guess I would never experience that, no matter what I do in my life again.
Now, staying on the subject of 2012, this is Stuart Pearce on Saturday Sessions, being asked if he was put under pressure to include David Beckham in the Team GB squad.
Like you would never know, Sam. Honestly, it's been the most difficult decision I've ever had to make in my life. Certainly the most difficult decision in footballing terms I've ever had to make. And I think discussions were had. Bear in mind, Adidas sponsored the Olympic Games, the kit. They were also David's sponsor. I think conversations were had between David's agent and the FA about him having the captaincy. All those things behind my back. And I even believe, from what I can gather, that once the decision was made and by myself that he wasn't going to be in the squad, it was even mentioned at Downing Street whether it was the right decision or not and whether they should replace me as the manager.
Back now to big Tony Cascarino, picking his top five dressing room pranksters and jokers. Or, as we like to call it nowadays, banterers.
Is that a word?
Okay, well, bants.
Yeah, but that doesn't work, does it? Top five bants.
Yep, banterers, bants. It's just pranksters then, jokers. Just have a listen.
Number one has to be my mate Andy Townsend, because...
Is he a prankster?
Oh, Andy, but do you know what?
Now, that's interesting. I didn't imagine that.
The thing that always got me with... When he did work for ITV and he would do the commentary, you never got the humorous side of
no,
Andy.
No, I agree with that.
Because it's straight. That's how you do commentary. You can't be a joke all the time. But Andy was... Anyone who was at Chelsea with him, all the boys I mentioned, Cundy, Wisey, you know, they all know Andy. Andy was the life and soul of every dressing room. Always laughing, always being funny, always cracking stuff, always playing games. I knew him from an 11-year-old, and I knew him, obviously I played Republic of Ireland with him. He was a leader with Ireland as well. He was always playing pranks on me, Georgie. I roomed with him, and there was always something going on with me. He did the one on me in 1994, because Andy dyed his hair blonde. And if you get some images of World Cup, he went blonde.
Yeah.
So I decided to put a colour on my hair. Okay, in 94. And Andy said, I'm going to the hairdressers that I got my blonde done.
I mean, why?
No, well, anyway, so he goes, he comes back, and I've told him to get the colour Chaton Clear. Okay, so get Chaton Clear. So he comes back, gives me the box, open the box, yeah, Chaton Clear, put it on my hair. So anyway, plum. come out plum. So I've come out the bathroom and I'm there cursing. I'm going, it sounds so... He's got me plum. My hair was literally plum colour. Georgie, I've come in. And he's laying on the bed and he's holding me the box and he's got a plum and a Shout and Clear. He's got two. He's bought two and he switched the two, plum and the Shout and Clear. But what Andy always does, I'll tell you a quick little story because I don't need to tell this one as well, but he always would call the lads and let them know, you know, like, I've just done this, so come to the room, yeah. You know, because I've just done Cass's hair. He's having a shower, washing his hair. But I've plumbed it. I've got plum on his hair. So he always lets everyone know. Kevin Wilson, who played for Chelsea, his contract was coming to an end at Chelsea. And he had about 3 months to go. So Andy phones him at the hotel on an away game at Derby, phones Kevin Wilson, pretending to be a manager.
That is mean.
Right. So he starts coming on, he starts going to Kevin Wilson, right, okay, Kevin, I'm interested in taking you in the summer. And he's really good at playing the game, Andy. So he ends up finding how much Kevin Wilson was on a week, what he wanted. And then Andy tells him what he's going to give him. So he tells he tells Andy, like, he's getting 1,500 quid a week. He's getting this sign-on fee. How long contract? So Andy says, well, we'll give you a 3-year. We'll give you treble your money. We'll give you a double your sign-on
That's
fee.
So, mean.
So Kevin Wilson comes down. Of course, Andy's told everyone at dinner what he's done. Kevin Wilson comes out and he's looking at everyone. You know when you meet someone and you know they want to tell you something? They're that news. And he's got a big cigar. He's got his fingers like it's a cigar, like... And Andy's like, what's up, Kev? And he went, I've just had Derby on the phone. They've offered me 3 times what I'm getting here. Boat smoking the cigar and all like that. And, of course, all the lads are in it. But it was just Kevin gave the whole spiel. And, of course, Andy had told everyone how much he was getting away. So then the conversation turns into, you're only getting that a week. You're only getting 1,500 quid a week here. And he went, how do you know? Andy had literally played. He was brilliant at it as well. Great fun to be around Andy.
Now, Leicester City forward Ozzy Perez was the guest on Saturday Sessions and he told Sam Matterface they had a number of different clubs trying to sign him before he moved to England.
So the under-21s of Madrid and Barcelona want me, but that would mean I was going to play in second division again, championship. Mm. And I had the offers of Oporto, the first team, and Newcastle. First team as well. Obviously, being in a club like Real Madrid or Barcelona is always special. But, you know, that second team option made me think maybe it wasn't the right move. So I was very close to move to Oporto, like very, very close. So just little details were delaying the move. But at that moment, Newcastle made a call. They were very interested in me. They didn't fight for little details. And then I realized, well, I always had the dream to play in the Premier League. So that was the opportunity.
Now, in the latest edition of Glory Hunters, the podcast, Hibs take on Manchester United in the grand final. And Hibs fan, Doogie Anderson.
Oh, yeah, I remember him off the telly. He was in that show... No, it's gone.
No, me neither. Anyway, he believes Manchester United are a club with issues.
Oh, yeah, I've got it. He presented Balls of Steel.
No, that was Mark Dolan.
Man United have a complex that makes them narrow-minded and small in stature. It's a superiority complex mixed with rampant narcissism. Furthermore, Man United are utterly confused, perfectly exemplified in one of their own signature fan chants, the Pride of All Europe. It starts, we are the pride of all Europe, the cock of the north. Not true. Many countries, including Albania and Belarus, are at best ambivalent towards United. It continues, we hate the Scousers, the Cockneys, of course, elites. Hatred? Hatred to Wayne Rooney or Steve Coppell? Rooney's your record goal scorer with 253 goals. Who else do you hate? Best Law and Charlton? Cockneys, Gordon Hill, David Beckham, Rio Ferdinand, all East End boys. Without Leeds, no Cantona signing. Without Cantona, no Red Revolution, you blethering fools. And the chant concludes, we are United, without any doubt, we are the Manchester boys. But of course, there is doubt, because until 1902, you were called Newton Heath and played in green and yellow.
But that's it for another podcasty thing. Good work, everyone. A reminder, you could download other ones and future ones from Apple Podcasts, Spotify and Acast. I hopefully, fingers crossed, if I can get this system working, we'll be back tonight from 10 p.m. with the Sports Bar. If not, who knows, we'll be sat in my seat. As long as he's not that Rushton fella, doesn't really matter. Well, it does matter because, of course, you want me there. So as long as he's not that Rushton fella, yeah, just as long as he's not Rushton. Anyway, that's it for another podcast. Have a good day. Keep your distance. Wash your hands. And above all, gang, be safe, everyone. Be safe.
That was a podcast from TalkSport.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whatever your mission, home or away, don't delay. Enterprise has the vehicle for the job. Rent from the best lineup in the UK. With over 450 branches, Enterprise has what your business needs. From compact three-door cars to spacious SUVs and people carriers to vans, they offer a large range of reliable vehicles perfect for the job. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.